Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
And welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Hey, welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhurst, and we got Brian Myers.
Welcome back, Brian.
And then Ron at the board.
Thank you.
Yep.
Rinaldus Will. Magnus.
So.
Hey, can I whine a little bit?
Well, just crackers, can we really stop you?
Well, not as long as my mic is hot.
Hey, Ron could stop you.
I can
Ron
fix
could stop
that.
This quickly. Sure, you can. You are the co-host, so
all
you
right,
can.
All right, here it is. Last 2 months, I've been just crazy busy at work.
We've noticed.
Yeah. And in the middle of all this, I got this nasty bronchial infection, okay, which I couldn't shake. I also managed to somehow gaff up my back really badly, probably due to all the miles I was driving, right? So the last couple of months have not been fun. So finally, after 2 months, last Monday, I played basketball again for the first time. And it was great. I felt good. You know, it was just really good to be out there and get a good workout in. So I went back there again this morning. Really looking forward to it. I played for 5 minutes and rolled an ankle. I didn't even have a chance to break a sweat.
My goodness.
I was so frustrated.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm sorry about that, man.
Anyway, I just want to get healthy again.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And enjoy life a little bit. Anyway, okay, enough of all that.
Yeah, so we had a good weekend. I went to Kansas City last weekend, and
I don't want to go down there since I've been down there so much over the last
couple
of months.
Well, I was visiting Menards stores.
Oh, yeah.
So we
saw the sights.
Yeah, some of the sights. And before we came home, Kelvy arranged us to take a tour of the roastery, which is one of the few coffee roasters in the United States that actually air roast their coffee.
I don't know what an air roast process
it basically
is.
Hot air.
It's hot air that's heated like 600 degrees. That way, all the beans get evenly roasted. Instead of, you know, because generally if you're in a barrel, you know, roaster, only the beans that are touching the metal get roasted, you know, so, and they have to keep going round and round and round.
So there's much more uniform.
More uniformity. Yeah. They don't necessarily have to roast as long. So even their dark roast is a little bit lighter in color than some other dark roasts. Huh. Anyway, then they showed us how to do how to fix coffee properly, which, the first thing they told me, Shane, you know, that drip brew thing you use, don't use that.
Oh, yeah, that's the first thing they tell you to throw out.
Right, which, like, I'm going to still use that. Sorry, I don't have time to do French press, even though I'd love to do French press if I had time. But just a simple tip out there for you, those of you who have, you know, the typical coffee brewers, rinse your filters before you brew your coffee.
That's what they said to do.
That's one.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. And I'm like, I never thought of that. That's interesting. So, and then of course, you know, the common thing, other things too, if you use whole bean coffee, don't grind until you're ready to brew.
Right.
So
yeah,
things
that
like
one's
that.
Obvious.
Yeah.
Hey, so what you got to get to the bottom line. What'd the coffee taste like?
Coffee was good. Very good. Yeah. Went through it already this week.
You brought some home. It's all gone.
It's all gone. Yeah.
Well, you get some fun facts on coffee here at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Definitely, definitely. Hey, on the line, we have a very special guest. Cody,
is he still there?
He's hopefully still there, and I'm sure he wrote down
those
coffee tips,
there?
Too. Hey, Cody McGregor is the National Outreach Director for Concerned Veterans for America. Some interesting information about Cody I pulled directly off their website. He enlisted in 1999, enlisted in the Army as an infantryman directly out of high school. So you were 11 bang bang. 11 bang bang. What's it called now?
I think the technical term is 11 Bravo.
Bravo, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on the right path there.
It just sounds to me like a grunt.
We call it 11 bang bang. Just
right. Sounds to me like a grunt.
I was a medic in the Army. So I was, at the time, it's something different now. It was 91 Alpha. Anyway, upon basic training and U.S. Army Airborne School. Okay, what possesses somebody to want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane?
You know, that's a great question. I actually, as a matter of fact, I'd never been on an airplane my entire life growing up until I flew to basic training.
Okay.
And then the second plane I got on, I jumped out of. So just talk about the common sense I've got.
You better hope he had a perfectly good chute. That's what. Nice, nice. And so you served in the 82nd Airborne Division, and you deployed to Egypt in support of an international peacekeeping mission. Then you served after 9/11. You were deployed to Afghanistan, and you served as a sniper and a squad leader. So you're probably somebody that we don't want to encounter in a dark alley if you're angry with us, right?
If you've got a good cup of coffee for me, we'll be okay.
Okay, all right. So
I'm more worried about this guy in an open field in a ghillie suit.
That's true. That's true. Maybe seeing you is a good thing.
That's exactly right.
So what does Concerned Veterans of America do?
You know, our mission at Concerned Veterans for America, first, it's great to be with you guys. I appreciate you having me on. And you know, Concerned Veterans for America, our mission is to fight for and protect the liberties and principles that we defended in freedom, and we defended in uniform. And what that means is, you know, you look across this country right now and you see so many issues that sometimes don't get elevated to the national stage. I mean, you've got scandals at the VA happening across the country, and they'll pop up for a second, and then next thing you know, we're talking about the Kardashians again. You've got taxpayer dollars being flushed down the toilet at the Department of Defense when we've got, you know, being spent on projects that never see the light of day while soldiers in the field struggle to get the gear they need for day-to-day operations.
Right.
So we fight to protect those liberties and principles that make us the greatest country in the world.
Right. I was looking on your website, and one of the top priorities you have is fixing veterans' health care. I'm sure most of our listeners are aware of some of the problems, at least they've seen in the news, but what are some of the fixes that you guys advocate for?
You know, there's a couple of things that have been going on. You know, since 2014, when the scandals broke in Arizona, 41 veterans died on secret wait lists. We've been advocating for accountability. The Department of Veterans Affairs is the second largest agency inside the federal government, with over 300,000 employees and a budget next year of over $182 billion. And the unfortunate thing about this is that over 500,000 veterans wait 30 days or more to see a doctor. It's impossible to fire anybody inside of the VA. They love to play this shell game,
right,
where they move a supervisor from one area of the country to another when they don't do their job. And we want to see real accountability in place at the VA and be able to terminate those individuals that aren't doing their job. And more importantly, give veterans choice. You know, right now, veterans can't choose where they receive their health care. And that's unfortunate. And there are a lot of folks out there that love going to the VA. They get great, great care at the VA, and that's perfectly fine. We want to allow them to continue to do so. But for those other veterans that aren't having that experience, we want to allow them to go to Dr. Smith down the street and get the care they deserve.
Great. So, what kind of process do you think that would look like? I mean, what kind of momentum do you have as far as accomplishing that?
You know, there's some hurdles out there. There's been some legislation. After the scandal broke in 2014, we were able to get the VA Accountability Act passed, which was kind of the first step in moving towards fixing the system. But since then, you know, we've kind of run across some hurdles. And some of those hurdles are big government unions.
Mm-hmm.
The AFGE, they love the fact that they've got 300,000 dues-paying members. They want to maintain the status quo so everyone can continue to go to the Washington, D.C. cocktail hours and get invited to the White House Easter egg rolls. And so we run across a lot of folks that want to maintain the status quo. And so we're actually out there every day talking to Republicans and Democrats, because in our mind, it's not about an R or a D, it's about a V, and V for veteran. And we've got some legislation out there, the VA Accountability First and Appeals Modernization Act, is something that would establish some accountability, protect whistleblowers, and then we've got other pieces of legislation like the Caring for Our Heroes and the 21st Century Act that really starts to give veterans choice.
Cody, let me ask you a question with respect to what you just said about the bipartisan nature of your work. I'm going to paint with a real broad brush here, but ordinarily you see Democrats, when they see a problem, they want to throw money at it. The Republicans tend to say, no, we don't need any money. We just got to crack the whip. Again, I'm painting with a really broad brush here. But at the end of the day, what in your mind, is this a matter of resources, at least at some level? Is resources a problem?
You know, I think everyone outside of Washington, D.C. understands that you can't throw money at a problem and it'll be magically fixed. And unfortunately, there's some Republicans and Democrats out there that believe that. Yeah. And so what we believe in is you've got to go through and revamp the system. One, you've got to break apart the payer and provider. I mean, you tell me where in Iowa do you have a hospital that also has an insurance company inside of it? You know, that's prime real estate for corruption. And second, you know, if you start these wait lists, you know, 500,000 veterans waiting 30 days or more, if you start giving veterans the option to go to a private practitioner and start prioritizing those veterans that need care specifically at the VA, folks with PTSD and other instances, and allow those others with a sprained ankle from playing basketball or a broken leg or whatever to go to their own doctor, it's going to start shortening up those lines. And so I think it's got to be a holistic change, but it's funny, Bob McDonald, when he came in, we expected some great leadership from him. He was in the 82nd Airborne. He was a CEO of Procter & Gamble, and we expected to see some leadership from the private sector, military sector, come in and turn it around. And he rolled out this system or this program called MyVA. And that's a problem because it's not about MyVA, meaning the employees of the VA. This should be the veterans' VA.
Right.
And so we're hopeful that the next secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs takes that approach and puts the veteran first. Because if we start putting the veteran first, everything else will start working.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Cody McGregor with Concerned Veterans for America. Cody, you know, a couple of the other priorities you guys work on is one, targeting the debt, and then also your organization provides recommendations for the National Defense Authorization Act. What are some things you're looking at in those two areas?
You know, right now with the lame duck session that's been taking, it's going on. We're excited about the new administration. We want to see a lot of these spending bills that get rolled in over and over every year in, year out, never get looked at. We need to really shake things up there because you know, as many military commanders have said, you know, one of the greatest threats to our national security is our national debt, and we've got a national debt now of almost $20 trillion. You know, it's unbelievable how folks in Washington, D.C. think we could just keep printing money. And that's a real threat. And other countries are watching that. And so we need to take a look at how we're spending our money, where we're allocating it. Like I said, the Department of Defense and the Pentagon are in need of dire help because they're spending billions of dollars a year on projects and never see the light of day. And so we've got to really do some prioritization on how we spend our money, and we've got a plan to ensure we're not putting these huge issues and huge debt on the backs of our children.
Definitely, definitely. So, are you guys currently happy with the final conference report of the net for the NDAA that was just released?
You know, it's working through. We've got some conversations that are taking place as we wind down the year. I think there are meetings going on to make sure that it's in a good position to move forward next year. And obviously with some of the appointments that we're patiently waiting on, I think setting the tone for 2017 to establish some accountability, ensure that our security is first and foremost, and we're taking care of our veterans are among the top things that we're concerned about and looking at. And so we're excited though about what 2017 has to offer.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting, especially with some, you know, General Mattis possibly being at the Defense Department
I suspect that'll shake a few things up.
I would suspect so. You know, and then who knows, well, down the road, you know, the deputy directors and as well as Veteran Affairs, so it'll be interesting to see what gets done. Where can people learn more about your organization?
And they can visit www.cv, that's Charlie Victor, the number 4, the letter A, .org. And, you know, if they click join a strike team, a member of our team will be in touch, and we're continuously reaching out and building a grassroots army of veterans, military family members, and patriots who care about the future of this country, that understand the tears and blood that have been spilled to make this the greatest country in the world. And we arm them with the ability to talk to elected officials and talk about policies that need to be passed. And that's really what we do. You know, we just came off of a massive, in addition to getting involved in policies, we also have a massive election voter turnout program where just this last election year, we reached out to over 2 million voters, talked to well over 300,000 of them that went out and cast a ballot. And, you know, we believe that that's the way that we get things done. Getting through the election is the first step. The second step is holding politicians accountable for the things they said on the campaign trail. And that's what we're doing now.
Good deal. We're glad to have you with us.
Yeah, Cody, this is great work you're doing. We've got a lot of young men and women who have sacrificed a lot since 2003 in particular. And we really appreciate the fact that you're out there trying to advocate on their behalf.
And again, that website is cv4a.org. Go check it out. Get involved. I'm sure they'd be glad to have you. Thanks, Cody.
Thanks, Cody.
Hey, guys, thanks for keeping us the fight on the airwaves.
No problem. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So, on the line, we have a very special guest, Steve Myers of Cyhawk Thoughts. Steve, along with Chuck Utek, started Cyhawk Thoughts in 2011 to be a one-stop source for both Iowa State and Iowa Athletics. And I was going to point out too, he's also Brian's son. So, but we won't hold that against
him.
Yeah,
don't hold that against him. How you doing, Steve?
Doing all right. Thanks.
Thanks for coming on the show. All right, let's get started right away talking about the Hawkeye football team. They finished the season strong. They had a big game against Nebraska, and they had some really big plays, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. First, you know, what they were able to do after kind of a mid-season slump was pretty impressive. None more than the Michigan game.
Right.
It was just a fantastic defensive effort by them. So I couldn't watch the entire game, but the portions that I did watch, it was like their confidence just kept growing throughout the game, and that allowed you know, their defensive line to get pressure. Peppers didn't really even have.
Yeah, he was a non-factor, wasn't he?
He was, and that was probably the most impressive thing about their defense. And in terms of Nebraska and how they won, I think, you know, the first quarter, they set the tone with the big plays, McCarron and Daniels, and then it seemed like Nebraska and Armstrong just tried to get back in the game with big plays of their own and try to get it in one or two plays versus just try to get back in the game, right. You know, through an offensive series. And I think that's what ultimately did them in.
I'll tell you what, that Riley McCarron, he's got some great speed, doesn't he?
He does. He does. And the crazy thing about him, are we talking about him right now if Vandenberg doesn't get injured?
Maybe not. I hadn't even thought about that. But, yeah, he had to step his game up when Vandenberg went out. And, yeah, that's a good point.
You know, I think we're talking about Vandenberg right now instead of Riley. But he does. He has great speed. He runs his routes well.
Well, he outran the whole Nebraska secondary on that one play.
Yeah. He did what he needed to do. He stepped into a bigger role, and he succeeded at it, and all the credit to him.
Well, and Daniels, you mentioned him earlier. He had a great game, and he had a great season as well. He's a real deal.
He's pretty dang good, I'll give you that. He eclipsed the 1,000-yard mark. Here's the funny thing about it. I think Wadley actually might be a better college running back than Daniels. I think Daniels is going to have potentially a better chance playing in the pros. He's a little bit bigger. He can handle the physicality of it. Wadley, I think he's kind of at a different level in terms of college. But both of them, at the end of the day, if Wadley has a good bowl game, you're going to see two running backs at Iowa this year with over 1,000 yards, and that's pretty impressive.
It is. So what bowl do you think the Hawks are going to end up in?
Well, you have no idea anymore this day of age because of the college football playoffs and the conference championships game. And we've got a Big Ten conference championship that basically doesn't mean anything because Ohio State is already in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, they're already locked. Yeah.
It's a lock. And so, does Penn State or Wisconsin manage to get into that fourth spot? If either of them win, that would be the only thing that could change really the Big Ten landscape in terms of bowls. But you don't know, so you can't really predict much. But if I had to make a couple, maybe the Holiday Bowl or the Outback Bowl. You could have a little fun with that Holiday Bowl because there's a potential that Stanford's in that one again, and we could see a rematch, which is McCaffrey licking his chops at that point.
I don't think we want to see McCaffrey again, do we?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think I'd rather play somebody else.
Yeah, I think, and they're starting to play well again. I think, if they played earlier in the season, Stanford looked out of sorts. They just didn't really have a great beginning to their season, but they've really come on strong. So was Iowa. I would give it to Stanford because of McCaffrey, but that would be the only reason at this point.
Right. And it's just what Iowa's done. I mean, over the course of November has been pretty impressive. I mean, when Penn State drummed them 41-14, I just thought pretty much the season was
done. Did too.
I didn't see them recovering and upsetting Michigan the way they did. They played a solid game against Illinois, even shut out 28-0. Thoroughly enjoyed the Nebraska game Anybody who beats Nebraska like that makes me smile, but especially when Iowa does it. I mean, that was just I follow Ben Sass. He's a U.S. senator in Nebraska. Apparently, he had a bet with somebody else. Now we're expecting him to be driving Uber in Iowa City wearing Iowa gear here pretty soon. So that should be fun. But I was tweeting at him about, hey, you enjoying the game,
rubbing it in, huh?
Yeah. I'm loving it.
Steve, do you see the Hawks being strong again in 2017?
Well, guys, this is why I hate coming in and, postseason. I listened to our segment preseason, and I had them at 10-2 and in the championship game. Now they're 8-4, and, we're thinking maybe, a dumb sponsored Holiday Bowl. And,
yeah.
Dumb sponsored. It's like they were so close, though. I mean, if Vandenberg doesn't get hurt, are we talking about 10-2 and in the championship game? So I guess I was somewhat close. I think their ceiling next year, and Shane, I'll have you chime in after me, but I think it may be 8-4. And the reason I say that is because they lose so many seniors. I mean, Bethard's gone. Desmond King's gone.
Yep.
Daniels is gone. McCarron's gone. Yep. Vandenberg's gone. Jaleel Johnson's gone.
Big
that
playmakers.
Is a lot to replace.
I'm probably a little more pessimistic than you are. I think it's going to probably be a mediocre season. I don't know. Maybe 8-4 is a mediocre season. I don't know. But I just think it's going to be a rebuilding year. So if we even make a bowl game, I'm going to be happy.
Well, and here's the one thing. Ferentz, he has the ability to, when you don't think they're going to be good,
right,
they're better than they're supposed to be.
Right. I guess, yeah. And that's why I'd rather be delightfully surprised.
Yeah. He very well could be next year.
All right, Steve, we got 2.5 minutes left or something like that.
Or no, wait a minute.
No.
We're in good shape.
Yeah.
I got to get where I can.
Yeah, we
got to
talk
clock.
About Iowa State. So yeah. How do you guys enjoy the Iowa State football season?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
wonderful.
You know, that's the other thing. I said we're probably not going to see the fourth quarter meltdowns like we did last year under Rhodes. Boy, was I wrong.
Hmm.
That's all that happened this year. Now, I think our offensive schemes and our playmaking ability and the playmakers that we have all improved.
Right.
But we just couldn't finish games. And a lot of that is just we were getting tired. I know, Brian, you had mentioned in our preseason that, you know, we don't have a lot of depth. And it showed on the defensive side of the ball.
It sure did.
And, you know, so I'm going to chalk it up as it's Campbell's first year. It's his system getting in there. You definitely saw some offensive improvement,
certainly.
From the first few games. But
I mean, that's the thing, though. What would their record be if they hadn't continued to suffer those, you know, second half, sometimes fourth quarter meltdowns?
Right, because, Baylor squeaked it out. They had they played tough against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, they squeaked it out, in my opinion, too.
Kansas State, they should have won that. Oklahoma was a good game.
I'm truly thinking that the last 2 years, if we could have won the fourth quarter, then, you know, we'd be 20-5. Who knows, you know?
Right. Now, I'm just when Iowa State played Texas Tech, I didn't get a chance to watch. I was just hearing getting the highlights on my ESPN. I'm like, what team is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
When's the last time Iowa State's won a game like that?
That was records for a number of points in a Big 12 game and the biggest margin victory in Big 12 game, so never.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, and they had other, you know, moments where they just really looked incredible. Steve, what game was it? We ended up losing it, and I can't bring to mind who it was, but we scored. Not only did we score on every possession, we scored touchdowns on every single possession.
I don't remember
us ever doing that. And then again,
Baylor, we scored touchdowns on our first 7 possessions or something like that.
And then, you know, the wheels came off. And again, I can't help but think that if this team gets deeper, this team, like you pointed out, you know, could have a real successful program over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and, you know, good thing is Lazard just came out and said he was coming back because he feels like something special could happen too. So.
Yeah, I saw that just this morning. So, yeah, it's great he's coming back. So what do you see out of them next year?
I would love to say 6-6, but, you know, I truly don't have a clue on this one. We've got skill players, we've got playmakers, but we're going to have to do something on the defensive side of the ball, otherwise we're in trouble again.
Has he got some guys coming in?
We do have guys coming in, but you don't really know with true freshmen. You know, you can't sit there. I mean, unless they're 5 stars going to Alabama, you just don't have a good idea of how they're going to fit in the system right away and adjust to the play of the college level.
Who's their big players next year? Obviously, Lazard is back, but who's their big playmakers next year?
The great thing about it is it's the same playmakers we saw this year. It's, you know, it's going to be Lazard. It's going to be Park, Lanning, Montgomery at running back. Warren, he said he's sticking around. So if he can get healthy and get out of the doghouse, he'll be involved. Deshante Jones, I think, is the best wide receiver potentially on the team, and he's just a true freshman. So, you know, we've got playmakers. You just got to put it together.
Is this the kind of thing where this could maybe be a little bit like 1989, where we had this vaunted offense, but our defense was really thin, and so we'd score a whole lot of points and still lose?
It very well could be. I mean, we did that a lot this year.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, basketball, going into basketball.
Yeah.
Well, what are your thoughts about that? I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to basketball.
Well, Iowa State and Iowa meet at Carver Hawkeye on December 8th, which is going to be here before you know it. So start off with that, Steve. Who's going to win that game, and will it be a barn burner?
If you had asked me 2 weeks ago if it would have been a barn burner, I would have said yes. If you asked me today, who knows? Iowa State put up 54 points in Hilton in overtime. I don't remember the last time they scored that low in Hilton. And then you had an extra 5 minutes on top of it. It was kind of ridiculous. They have no flow on offense. Their defense is really good. Iowa put up like 41 points against Virginia. Virginia has a great defense. But for all I know, it's going to be 45-52.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. Normally, the Clones at home in overtime should have been in the high 80s pretty easily.
Yeah. It was the worst offensive performance I've seen Iowa State play since UAB in the NCAA tournament game.
All right, go out on a limb then and give us a score for the ISU-Iowa game.
We'll go 77-64 Iowa State, and I say that just because Iowa's pretty much got Jock right now, and that's it. Tyler Cook, he's an unbelievable freshman for Iowa, but he's out with a hand injury, so 14 Clones.
Well, the Clones off and on have looked pretty good so far this year, last night notwithstanding. What do both teams, Hawks have struggled, what do both teams have to improve on, and where do you see them come postseason?
I think the defensive side for Iowa needs some work. What I really wish I could see from Iowa State is the way that Iowa can move the ball on offense. Iowa State has a lot of one-on-ones right now, a lot of dribbling. The Hoiberg, what they call hoy ball, it seems to have gotten lost in the mix because they're not making that extra pass that they used to do with like Babb and Lucius and Tyrus McGee. You'd always have that one extra pass and then you'd have an easy splash three. That's not happening right now. Our threes are contested. So Iowa, it's got to be on the defensive side. Iowa State, it's got to be on the offensive side.
You had mentioned this to me earlier. No, I saw it on a tweet that you made, that observation about our offense. So is this an issue with Coach Prohm, or what's going on there?
I think it's an issue with our guys trying to do things for themselves versus for the team. I know we talked about senior leadership in the preseason and hyped our seniors up and they're going to do whatever they need to do to win. Problem is right now they're doing whatever they can do to help their stats. How does Monte Morris, have that bad of a game? So
we're out of time. So hey,
thanks for coming on board, Steve.
Hey, stay tuned. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
And now it's time for our news segment. Otherwise, officially,
easy for you to say.
affectionately known as News You Can Use. All right, first up, this is from the Los Angeles Times.
California wants to secede.
Okay.
Good.
Not succeed, secede. Supporters of a plan for California to secede from the Union took their first formal step, and this would have been a week ago last Monday, submitting a proposed ballot measure to the state attorney general's office in the hopes of a statewide vote as soon as 2018. Marcus Ruiz Evans, the vice president and co-founder of Yes California, said his group had been planning to wait for a later election, but the presidential election of Donald Trump sped up the timeline. I love it. We're doing it now because of all the overwhelming attention, Evans said. The Yes California group has been around for more than 2 years. It is based around California taxpayers paying more money to the federal government than the state receives in spending, and that Californians are culturally different. Culturally different. Did I say culturally different?
I think you did.
Culturally different from the rest of the country. You think? And that the national media and organizations routinely criticize Californians for being out of step with the rest of the U.S.
The national media criticizes them?
I feel
somebody does. I don't know if you could say the national media
does. I was going to say, the national media kind of aligned with California.
Good point. However, it is definitely true. Whoever maintains it, it is true. These folks are out of step.
Yeah. Well, they had. I don't know how it must have failed. I'm assuming, but they had a ballot initiative. They actually made it on the ballot to divide California up into six states.
Yeah, I heard about that, but I haven't read anything in specific about it.
Yeah, I would support that. Because I think they're population-wise, they meet the criteria. I also think you would find, depending on how, if you get some creative gerrymandering with state boundaries, it could end up being a bad thing. But we could actually end up getting more conservatives.
My preference is that they just take the whole darn thing and secede.
Right.
Go away. Well, join Canada.
Yeah.
You know,
go independent, whatever you want to do.
Right.
Well, you know, if Northern California, which minus San Francisco, tends to be a little more conservative, if they want to break away, I'd be okay with that.
There's even farming up in that area, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Next up, this is the New York Times. Trump with an open mind on the climate change agreement.
Oh, that's nice.
President-elect Donald J. Trump said that he would keep an open mind about whether to pull the United States out of a landmark multinational agreement on climate change. During his presidential campaign, Mr. Trump repeatedly said that he would withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord. But he recently said, "I am looking at it very closely. I have an open mind to it." Mr. Trump's comments came at an on-the-record lunch with the publisher, editors, and reporters of the New York Times, a meeting that was scheduled, canceled, and then reinstated by Mr. Trump after a dispute with the Times over the ground rules. Remember hearing about all that?
Yeah.
All that back and forth. Look, here's the thing about this. I hope Donald Trump is just doing another one of his, you know, negotiations that he does. Dr. Roy Spencer had some interaction on Facebook about this issue with some of us, and he maintains that there are people close to the president-elect's soon-to-be administration that are still sympathetic with the so-called climate skeptics position. So, again, I'm hopeful that he meant what he said during the campaign, that he'll follow through with it, and that these remarks really don't mean a whole lot. But at the end of the day, once again, this is Donald Trump we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I just don't have any confidence about this guy having any core principles about climate change or much of anything else.
Right.
So it's hard to say. Okay. Fidel Castro was a murderous tyrant who summarily executed dissidents and turned the entire island of Cuba into a tropical gulag.
Ding dong, the communist tyrant's dead.
According to the Black Book of Communism, a groundbreaking effort by a group of French scholars to document the human toll of communism in the 20th century. From 1959 through the late 1990s, more than 100,000 Cubans experienced life in one of Castro's camps, prisons, or open regime sites. Between 15,000 and 17,000 people were shot. But no matter such minor details of history, a panoply of Western leaders who ought to know better have been heaping praise on the dead dictator since his passing. I guess this was last week. This one is a beauty. This is from the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. It is with deep sorrow that I learned today of the death of Cuba's longest-serving president. Fidel Castro was a larger-than-life leader who served his people for all... served his people. Believe this guy. Served his people for almost half a century. A legendary, revolutionary, and orator. Mr. Castro made significant improvements to the education and healthcare of his island nation. While a controversial figure... both Mr. Castro's supporters and detractors recognized his tremendous dedication and love for the Cuban people, who had a deep and lasting affection for El Comandante. I know my father was very proud to call him a friend, and I had the opportunity to meet Fidel when my father passed away. It was a real honor to meet his three sons and his brother, Raul, during my recent visit to Cuba. I wish Trudeau would have just stayed down there. On behalf of all Canadians, Sophie and I offer our deepest condolences to the family, friends, and many, many supporters of Mr. Castro. We join the people of Cuba today in mourning the loss of this remarkable leader.
Which sparked outrage on Twitter. He got roasted on Twitter.
And if toasted.
If you have not had a chance to check out the hashtag Trudeau eulogies, I'll read a couple for you. Osama bin Laden was certainly a controversial figure, but his contribution to airport security is unparalleled. Hashtag Trudeau eulogies. Another one. Today we mourn the death of Jeffrey Dahmer, who opened his home to the LGBTQ community and pushed culinary boundaries. Trudeau eulogies. Oh, boy. While a controversial figure, Robespierre led France with a clear vision and firm resolve while others were losing their heads. Anyway, go check that out. I tried my lame attempt to do one. One was, never mind. I can't even think of the guy's name off the top of my head.
See, why don't you have that up in the production notes? Well, here's another beauty. This one is from
Ted Bundy. I remember now. Ted Bundy. Never mind.
Hey, just take his word for it. It was good, folks.
It was really good. That's why we were laughing. I forgot it.
All right, this one is from Representative Barbara Lee, a Democrat, no doubt, from California. We need to stop and pause and mourn his loss.
Why?
When she learned the news, Lee said, "I was very sad for the Cuban people. He led a revolution in Cuba that led social improvements for his people, including the 100,000 that were imprisoned and so on, and the 17,000 that were shot. Highly improved."
Yes, indeed.
In her eight meetings with Castro over the years, Lee said she found him to be a smart man, a historian.
And a murderous tyrant. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. And with that,
the world's upside down, you know what?
It is. We'll be back in a moment, folks.
You're running late and tempted to disobey that no-walk signal. Waiting can be frustrating. Conflict is like attempting to cross a busy intersection. You really don't want to step off that curb carelessly. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and you're listening to Pause for Peace. We like to use Pause Principle by Peacemakers Ministries to help people make those critical steps towards reconciliation. We find that they create a safe structure in the same fashion as a crosswalk provides the parameters for a safe trip through traffic. Another benefit we find with the pause principle is that it reminds us to slow down and take our time to evaluate the situation before moving forward. If you find yourself rushing into the traffic of conflict, please give us a call at 515-635-5465. Crosswalk Ministries is a safe place to make your steps towards God and others.
Hey, do you want to take advantage of the marketing potential within social media for your company or organization, but you're not so sure how? Let me help. My company, 415 Communications, is a social media consulting firm that works with groups like yours. Go to 415communications.com or give me a call at 515-321-5077.
And now, we've come to Mac McCoy's favorite part of the show. We are about to share a story Mac McCoy. J. Michael McCoy, world famous radio DJ and talk show host.
Mac Cookmeister? He's always butchering my name, so.
There you go.
All in good fun. Maybe. All right. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
All right, this one is from UPI out of Forest Grove, Oregon. Oregon police responded to a verbal altercation after a man refused to stop whistling Closing Time. It's from the group Semisonic. Okay, this guy apparently was whistling Closing Time outside a woman's driveway.
I'm not even sure I'd recognize that if it was whistling.
She must have.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, the woman called the cops. She called the Forest Grove Police Department after the man obnoxiously whistled the semisonic tune outside her home, according to a police log published by the Oregonian. A verbal altercation occurred after a woman allegedly told a man to shut up after he obnoxiously whistled the song Closing Time by the band Semisonic near her driveway, police said. Forest Grove Police Department, it must be Captain.
Yeah.
Captain Mike Herb told Time he was unsure what exactly about the song drove the woman to shout at the man before reaching out to authorities. So dialing 911 is...
reaching out to the authorities.
He's whistling. Closing Time. Get here fast.
It's not clear if the caller would have been more or less upset if it was a different genre or whether it was just the talent lacking in the whistling, he said. The man had left the area when police had arrived, but they later tracked him down and reported he did not abandon the song as he whistled his way back home.
I guess you can call the cops over anything now, right?
So I suppose.
Is your coffee too hot at McDonald's?
I mean,
call the cops.
Well, I'm like...
Is somebody whistling outside your house? Call the cops.
Right. Well, yeah. Maybe if it's like 3 o'clock in the morning.
There you go.
I could see that if he was whistling really loud. But if it's the middle of the day, it's like... I mean, was he just standing there outside... Whistling, just standing there.
Who knows?
I'm just trying to think what is it with the song that makes it so something that he wants to whistle, I guess.
I don't know. Maybe he likes Semisonic.
He must.
Who knows?
Listening to the song, meh.
You know what? In all seriousness, this is just another indication how screwed up our culture is becoming. I mean, we're sitting here laughing about it, but how many times have people called the cops over stupid stuff and other people had to pay some serious consequences over it? Because either people are idiots or people stick their nose where it doesn't belong or both.
Right.
I mean,
well,
what are you doing dialing 911 because some moron's out here whistling a rock song? Are you serious? Send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story at caffeinatethoughts.com. We'll give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show.
probably the blame. This is Caffeine Thoughts Radio.
Rock and roll, folks.
We'll see you next week, everybody. Take care.
Care.